This is a Defocus Media production. What's up, everyone? It's your favorite optometrist, Dr. Daryl Glover.
And I'm Dr. Jennifer Lyerly, resident optometry nerd.
And welcome to Defocus Media, optometry's number one podcast, where we discuss the hottest topics, latest technology, eyewear, practice management, and more. So sit back, relax, and defocus. Hello, hello, everyone. It's your favorite optometrist, Dr. Daryl Glover, and the lovely Dr. Jennifer Lyerly. Jen, it's top of the year, new beginning 2022. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to jump into the mix and just make it happen and save some more eyes and save some more lives. How about yourself, Jen?
Yeah, you know, I think we're all coming away from the break feeling, for us, it was a little bit slow. I'm sure everybody's been different, but compared to typical holiday seasons, there's a lot of unrest right now in the world. We were a little slower than usual. So it's really kind of, because we weren't so crazy, maybe refocus on what can I do better? What are opportunities to connect with patients, to give them a better experience, and make sure that those people that do come in are completely wowed and impressed by the services that we're getting? And so that's why I'm really loving today's topic, because you know that our practice is really focused on contact lenses, and we're going to be talking about contact lens science and really maximizing that experience, because patients want their contact lenses, Daryl.
Oh, yeah. And if there's anything that I know about you, Jen, is that you love to geek out on contact lens and dry eyes. So I know this is right up your alley, and we're going to have a lot of fun, a lot of great conversation and knowledge that we can bring to our practice and take it to the next level, especially at the top of the year.
Well, we have a true expert on the show tonight as our guest, Dr. Erin Roof, OD, PhD, FAAO. She's the chief of the cornea and contact lens department at the Marshall B. Ketchum University Eye Center. Dr. Roof, it is such an honor to have you on the show, and not to mention new mom on top of everything else.
Thank you. Sorry, my Roomba next to me just started, so I apologize. thank you for having me so much. I actually am a longtime listener of the podcast. I never miss an episode, so I was so excited when you guys invited me to come and chat with you tonight.
Wow, that's such an honor. We're going to be diving into this topic because I know, obviously, on top of you actually being a practitioner and this being a specialty of yours, you are teaching this kind of science in class. So we're going to be your students today too. But yeah, we also wanted to give a shout out to Justin Vision for sponsoring this episode and helping to make this conversation happen. So thank you for all of our sponsors, and Justin Vincent has been a big supporter of the podcast. So let's talk about what your role is at Marshall B. Ketchum University Eye Center and kind of what sparked your interest to go into contact lens.
Yeah, well, my interest in contact lenses definitely started, as most of us, right, as when we were students. I just always felt the most interested and excited for those contact lens patients. Contact lenses are so fun because, you know, you can do so many things with them. You can correct vision. You can treat ocular diseases. You can take someone from being, you know, disabled. They walk into your room, you know, maybe not able to drive or do their, you know, activities of daily living, and you can design a lens for them and they can walk out able-bodied and able to, you know, really take on whatever they want in their life. And I really just felt like, you know, within optometry, contact lenses were such an interesting, you know, niche and way to serve our patients and serve our profession. So yeah, that definitely started as a student for me. And then I did a non-traditional residency that's called the Advanced Practice Fellowship at Ohio State, which is a two-year program where you spend half of your time seeing patients within your specialty and the other half doing research and getting a master's degree. So with that, I got to do a little research, and that kind of started me down the path of research that I did throughout my PhD when I was a faculty member at Ohio State. And I've done a lot of work looking at, you know, sort of reasons why patients are dissatisfied with contact lens wear or uncomfortable with contact lens wear other than dry eye. So vision issues, you know, contact lens satisfaction issues. That's been a lot of my research, which is what we'll talk about with this topic tonight. But yeah, so I was at Ohio State for several years, and then about 3 years ago came out here to Southern California and have been on faculty here. I'm the chief of the contact lens clinic here and teach within the curriculum and just do a little bit of everything. So.
Well, that's awesome. You know, something I want to do, Jen, I apologize for doing this in advance, but Jen and I, we graduated, you know, 10 years ago.
And,
okay, all right. We're all in the same party. I love it. But you have a connection directly with students. So I'm curious to know, when it comes to fitting contact lenses, because every school is different. I went to PCO. There was a lot of disease there. We didn't do a lot of contacts at all. Mm-hmm. Most of my contact lens training came from before going to optometry school, because I was a optometric technician and also going on my rotations. I picked the right rotations to really make that, you know, stronger for me. And Jen, I just went out to SEO, and I know they do a lot of contacts out there, and they have different satellite sites where they're able to really have more hands-on with that. I'm curious to know, what does contact lens look like at your school, your program? How are students accepting that? And, you know, how do you battle these challenges of maybe not a student not getting enough exposure to contact lens fitting?
Yeah, well, I will say, you know, a big reason why I came to SECO was because of the really strong contact lens program that they have. There's been some really amazing faculty members that have cycled through here through the years, and, you know, I wanted to work with them. So I should say that, you know, a big reason why our students get such a great education is because of the faculty that have put a lot of time in the past and that are currently putting the work in to teach them. Our faculty are very detail-oriented and student-oriented, and the curriculum, at least for our students, is very thorough. I was impressed with that when I started, of how much specialty lens access they get, you know, as students, not just as fourth years, even as third years, and within their curriculum in their second year, they're, you know, learning about everything from soft lenses to GPs to orthocade, myopia control, and scleral lenses, all of the above, and who knows, you know, what else is going to come out. We'll teach them that too. So, but I agree with you, Daryl. Every program is a little different. And so if there are students that are listening that are like maybe feeling like they're not getting, you know, as much, you know, face time with those types of patients, seek them out. Like you said, through externs, that's a great way to get exposure to specialty lenses that you may not have, you know, exposure to at your clinic, you know, maybe just because of the population in the area. But yeah, there are definitely ways, if you have an interest, to seek that out. You can even, you know, seek out specialty lens fitters within your community, maybe spend a few days, you know, a month with them, just to kind of see what they're up to.
Awesome. I love it.
Well, our big topic for this evening is astigmatism lenses. And so here's the thing about astigmatism contact lenses. We all know astigmatism is extremely prevalent in the population. When you look at surveys of people with prescriptions, about 40% of Americans have astigmatism. And when we look at the percentage of contact lenses prescribed for astigmatism, it lags behind that number a bit, depending on the survey you're looking at. If you take out presbyopes and just look at like single vision prescriptions, in the United States, it's about 34%. So here's the good, I mean, it's been on the rise. We've been closing that gap. So I think more doctors are embracing astigmatism lenses, but I feel like there's a lag in patient perception of the lenses that now almost becomes a barrier. So in your own practice, when do you start approaching astigmatism lenses for patients?
Yeah, I always tell my students, if it's worth prescribing in their spectacle prescription, then it's worth prescribing in their contact lens prescription. So, you know, when I'm doing a refraction in the four opter, sure, you might throw out a quarter here, maybe a half of cylinder in your prescription before you write it out for your patient. But you're not going to throw out a diopter of astigmatism in a patient's glasses prescription. You're not just going to leave that in the four opter. And so we really shouldn't be doing that in our contact lens prescriptions either, right? If our patient has, you know, we know sort of the lowest amount of cylinder in a soft contact lens is 0.75 diopters. If they have that in their spectacle prescription, we should be prescribing that in their contact lens prescription. We wouldn't leave that on the table. And really, that's going to help with their entire visual experience, but also their comfort experience with their contact lenses as well. We know that if a patient is over or undercorrected, they're going to have eye strain, and they might misinterpret that as discomfort. And then we might misinterpret their discomfort as dryness. And it's just this messy, messy thing. And so we should really be trying to maximize visual correction in our patients. I think a lot of doctors, you know, maybe do leave some astigmatism on the table with soft contact lenses, because in the past, we didn't have parameters available for all patients. In the past, lenses didn't stabilize as well as they do with more modern lenses now. And so some of those habits and tendencies are just holdovers from, you know, products that we didn't have 10 or 15 years ago. And so we should really be addressing astigmatism, if it exists at all, in all of our patients, because we have lenses available for almost any patient with regular astigmatism now.
I love that you called out about the comfort issue, because I think this is often something that we hear. A patient says to us, oh, these lenses aren't comfortable to me. We always assume, like, let's try a different material, let's switch to dailies. But the visual phenomenon of eye strain feels uncomfortable to a person. And so we can't overlook maybe the vision is what's causing that issue. And I've found, I mean, Daryl, this might be the case that you see too, because we practice in the same city. We have similar patient base. If you're in a high demand area where people are working jobs with a lot of Excel spreadsheets and computer work, sometimes even if they have 0.5 diopters of astigmatism in their glasses prescription, that visual discomfort, you hold up a 0.75 trial lens over top of their contact lenses and you'll see the shock. Like, they're missing even that small amount of cell sometimes.
Yeah,
Jen, I agree. And, you know, Jen, when I see this, I always think of opportunity. You know, Jen, when I'm in the exam room, I want to be a hero to my patients. It's no doubt about that. And, you know, back in the day when I was younger and I first started prescribing, you know, around that 2011, 2012 timeline, I would have patients come in and, you know, they'll have 0.75 sill and with the rule. And I'm like, oh, what the hell? They're with the rule. Let's go ahead and just, you know, give them that little extra step of nearsightedness to correct. Then as I started to practice, I started to notice when I gave them that astigmatism correction with that contact lens, it truly was night and day. And it was worth that extra time to have that conversation with that patient and to give them that relief and that comfort with their day in and day out activities. So for me, it makes a big difference to be able to have that conversation, but also show them. And at the end of the day, we're here to help our patients. If we're not giving them that astigmatism, we're really shortchanging them. And we don't need to do that with patient care. We need to give them the best products, the best innovation, the best prescription, and truly make sure that they can see well.
I mean, you mentioned, obviously, it's extremely common, like 0.75, definitely 0.5. So, like, most of us are thinking, I'll just bump up the sphere correction and they'll be fine. There was a survey done back in 2020 of 400 ECPs, and 60% of the eye care professionals that responded agreed that toric lenses did provide better vision for their patients with low amounts of cill, 0.75 to 1. But that means 40% of people were like, those people, they don't need it. It's not going to make them any better. So almost half of us aren't convinced that patients with low cill really need the astigmatism lenses and are just going to do what you had done in the past, kind of bump up their spherical correction. So it's relatively common.
I think the under-prescribing or under-utilization of astigmatic lenses is an eye care provider problem. It's not a patient problem in the sense of who's to quote unquote blame for the problem. There's a perception amongst eye care providers that toric lenses are going to cost you more chair time, that they're going to be more likely to fail, that they're not going to get as good a vision. But those things have been disproven over and over again, especially in recent years. There's actually been two really good studies, one by Stephanie Cox and one by David Bernstein in the last couple of years, that looked at low astigmats specifically, so people with 0.75 or 1 diopter of astigmatism, and they were able to wear a toric lens for a period of time and a spherical lens for a period of time and compare them. And they found, and I might be misquoting the studies slightly, but generally the conclusions of both of these studies was, hey, the vision, like the objective vision, was kind of the same between the spherical and the toric lenses, meaning what you hear them read on your chart is kind of the same. But when you ask the patient what they preferred the toric lens over and over and over again, these low astigmats. And specifically in the study by Stephanie Cox, she gave them the convergence insufficiency symptom survey, which is sort of a survey that can be used to sort of measure visual discomfort. And those patients had better CISS scores with toric lenses compared to spherical lenses. And to me, that really says that, one, they just prefer the vision, and their visual comfort is probably better with the toric lens. And again, it's an us problem. It's not a patient problem. The only reason a patient thinks they can't wear contacts because they have astigmatism is because someone told them that, right? They don't come up with that on their own. And I hate it when I hear patients say that, because actually contact lenses are great for astigmatism, right? They're the ultimate correction for astigmatism. So yeah, we just really need to do better and utilize the great products that we have available to us.
Yeah, I mean, what we have to look at is lifestyle, right? I mean, everyone has a different lifestyle, but everybody wants to have that high performance when it comes to seeing and doing their daily activities. And I'm just thinking, me alone today, I woke up early in the morning, read, took my son to school, had a drive there, came back home, then went to work, saw patients on a computer all day, looking down a hall, up a hall, drove back home in the evening. All those things need fine detail. And when you have that astigmatism correction for those that truly need it, and we're not serving them with that astigmatism correction, again, it's going to do a disservice, and they're not going to be able to see as well, especially driving at night, especially in a triangle area. You know, here it's not well lit, so any finer detail that you can have or add to the mix is really going to make things a lot easier for our patients.
I'm glad you mentioned, I don't know how many times, even in the past couple of months, that I had patients tell me, oh, well, I can't wear contact lenses because I have astigmatism. All right. It is crazy how prevalent this is in a patient's mindset. So what do you think we need to do as optometry as a whole to like completely wash that myth and misperception out of the water? Because it comes up shockingly frequently.
Yeah. I mean, I guess we need to spread the word to our peers and our colleagues first. Because again, the only reason a patient would say that is if someone told them that. And the best way is to just kind of, again, allude to or try to bring up reasons why that might have been said in the past and why that's not true now, right? And so why that might have been said in the past, yeah, we didn't have products that stabilize well on most people. Yeah, we didn't have products that maybe had your oblique axes or the axes, you know, that that your particular patient needs, but that's just really not the case anymore, right? We have monthly, 2-week, daily options available every 10 degrees around the clock. We have lenses that are comfortable. Most toric lenses are going to stabilize on most patients these days. And you know, within the products that we have available to us, there's enough variation in stabilization systems that if one lens for some reason doesn't stabilize on your patient, you can probably switch it up and find a lens that does stabilize for them. So yeah, there's no reason why an astigmat can't wear contacts. And in fact, you know, an astigmat, you could argue, would get their best vision from a contact lens.
Yeah, amen to that. And Jen, you know, I personally think, you know, it starts with, you know, experts like Aaron at school. You know, if we're able to have that conversation from day one before students get out and they start learning all the wrong things to do, if they learn it right from the beginning,
bad habits,
you know, we'll be able to, you know, have happier patients. Because at the end of the day, let's be honest, let's be real. You get out, you do rotations, you get out, start practicing by yourself. You work with some other doctors. They'll say, oh, just give them an extra quarter step. They'll be okay. Next thing you know, you're doing that for all your patients. But again, this service, we got to make sure we give them the best vision, the best products, the best innovation. So for me, Jen, I think it's really starting at that school level.
Yeah, I know. I agree. And we have to check ourselves a little bit. I was talking about the study of 400 doctors back in 2020. And during the study, the ECPs were asked, okay, if you had just one soft toric contact lens in your tool, what percentage of your patients do you think that one product would serve for your astigmatism patients? And the results were between 55 to 74%, depending on the lens that you offered. The truth of the matter is, for the majority of the lenses, it's well over 90%, right, Aaron? So we think there's a lot less available options than what actually is being served by the lenses, readily, not special order, just straight up from your drawers in the back.
Yeah, they're there. And oftentimes, even if it's not perfectly close, like it's close enough, you could throw something on that patient that day, at least to get them started, get them out the door, and maybe order something in to refine it if you need to.
what's interesting is that kind of the Acuvue Oasis claim to fame is 99% of spherical and astigmatic prescriptions are covered by their lens family portfolio, because they also get up to that minus 275 still around the clock without going to special order. So, I mean, most of your patients, you've got a lens right there.
You in your trial set. Yeah, I mean, when you add that 275 in there, that really changes the game. I mean, that really brings in that, you know, those patients that maybe in the past you were like, oh, nope, you're, you know, maybe that somebody with the three diopters or something in their spectacle prescription. Yeah, in a daily disposable at that, like that really just changes the game.
You know, I love when I have those patients come in, because when I can bring out a contact lens for them, they think I'm the best thing ever. And they're just like, you really have something? You don't have something. No way. Sometimes I even bet with them. You know what? Let's put a bet. If I don't have anything, glasses on me. If I don't have something, then you know what? You got to buy me a pair of glasses.
And they're going to order one day.
But I'll come back in and I'll have an option available for them. They're like, no way. I say, way. And they're so excited and so happy. And then the clarity, the vision. I mean, it's just, you know, to be able to have 99%, you know, of the options available, that's phenomenal. It's just game changing, truly.
And in a daily disposable, like,
yeah,
that's crazy. Yeah.
Awesome. I'm curious, how many of your patients are you, or percentage, are you fitting in dailies? Because I do about 70 to 75% roughly.
We are about the same in our clinic. Yeah. We kind of do dailies as a default, unless there's a reason why we can't. And obviously we want to pass that practice onto our students as well. But I found that it's, you know, even compared to like 5 years ago, it's so much easier to have the daily disposable conversation now with patients. I think it's just becoming such much more mainstream. You know, our patients, maybe they have someone at home who's wearing a daily, or, you know, they're more aware of daily disposables. And there are so much better parameters now available in our daily disposables. We have more ranges of sort of price points as well. You know, having that conversation about, you know, switching to a daily is so much easier now that I, you know, again, almost everybody could wear a daily if they really wanted to, with, you know, regular astigmatism or regular cornea. So, yeah, it's great.
Well, I can tell you this, the one thing I can say that COVID has done, it has helped put more patients in dailies. Yeah. I now have patients coming in requesting. I'm not trying to sell them the story of you need a daily contact lens.
Yes.
And this is for my spherical patients, my astigmatic patient, like every patient that walks through my door, they understand the importance and how healthy that lens is for the eyes. Most of the time when I get kickback, I wouldn't even say it's price. The weirdest thing that I get kickback on, you wouldn't believe this, is patients wasting containers. They get real upset that there's so many containers and they're going to waste. That's the most kickback I get outside. I guess I could say in addition to pricing, but pricing is not number one. It's the containers.
Right. The environmental impact is definitely becoming bigger.
So you're getting that as well in your practice?
Yeah.
California, that's
right. Yeah. Yeah, we're in SoCal. So, yeah. And the companies are kind of, they're aware of that. And, you know, they're doing things to address that and combat that. And so, you know, I just try to talk to patients about, you know, ways you can offset that.
Yeah.
By, you know, you're not buying solutions. You're not buying plastic, a big bottle of plastic every month. You maybe aren't wearing lenses every day. So that's kind of offsetting it. But yeah, that'll probably be the challenge that will need to be addressed more in the coming years.
Let's talk a little bit, because I know we were earlier talking about stabilization, and this is a part where I think, again, the myth really persists among patients and doctors that their lenses, when they have astigmatism, are moving around all day long. And this is something I hear straight up from my patients. They'll come in and they'll say, yeah, these lenses aren't working. I know they're moving and rotating on my eyes. And that rotation word is clearly something that's been primed by previous doctors, previous experiences. With today's technology, though, I often find the lenses are not swinging around like crazy, but it's more of maybe an ocular surface issue or potentially something different going on with blink rates and things during the day. And we're much less likely as doctors to see a lens just wildly spinning in variable directions when you actually look at it in the slit lamp. What technology exists to make today's lenses so stable, Dr. Roof?
Well, I mean, companies are our manufacturers are using all sorts of, you know, fancy bells and whistles to stabilize things. I think, you know, as students, we learn just the basics of, you know, there's a prism or a lens like Oasis is going to be stabilized by sort of we call it a double thin zone, or some you might have heard it referred to in the past as like double slab off, where basically the top and bottom are thinner, so they kind of tuck under the top and bottom lid. But companies are going to use different lenses are going to use different strategies on the front and back surface of the lens, in addition to that prism, in addition to that double thin zone, to kind of stabilize the lens. Specifically, you know, most lenses are stabilized by a prism ballast, mm-hmm. a prism of some sort. You know, again, they have little fancy designs that make them different from product to product. J&J products are going to be stabilized by that double thin zone, which they call blink stabilization. So the lens itself is stabilized sort of by the blink. The action of blinking helps that lens sort of center up quickly on the eye. And for a lot of people, it's quicker than a prism stabilized lens. And so you're not going to get that swinging, you know, that kind of pendulum swinging that maybe a patient has experienced in the past with another type of stabilization. And it's just another way to really, you know, nail that vision quickly right upon application with the lens.
I think this is so important for us to understand, because when you have a patient who comes in and they are not happy with the original product, like, we need to be able to refit them into a lens that would truly be different, that has a different design, has a different setup, is going to sit differently. So knowing, you know, prism ballast versus this is a different type of way of stabilizing. So you can explain to the patient, this lens works totally different. Yes, it's still an astigmatism lens, but it is not the same type. Sometimes that just helps them kind of get over that hurdle that, like, oh, none of these are going to work for me.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And I talked to my,
go ahead.
I talked to my students about that too, that, you know, it's important to at least have a general idea of how the lenses, the different products that you fit, are stabilized. So I want to know in my head, okay, these three lenses are prism ballast or prism stabilized, and, you know, these J&J lenses are, you know, blink stabilization with the double thin zones. Because just like you were saying, Jen, if I know for sure the prism isn't working for them, I want to switch them to something totally different. Yeah, totally different.
Yeah. And I agree with both of you. And I think that's a strong point. And something that we got to realize is that patients think all contacts are essentially the same. Mm-hmm. So that could be a negative thing where, oh, if this one sucks, this one sucks. But if we can actually start bringing out this terminology that you're discussing, mm-hmm. that's going to change their mindset. They're going to realize that, oh, there is a science behind fitting this. Oh, there is different technology for different folks. Everyone's a little different. Maybe I do need to try something different. So the more we start showing or discussing some of these terms and incorporating this terminology in our prescribing, you know, that will keep patients held to the practice and not have them go online to buy from some wacky vendor that's selling something that's not going to be the healthiest option for their eyes. So, you know, I don't really have that conversation in the exam room. So I want to say thank you to both of you for bringing that up, because I do feel like I need to step my game up when it comes to that conversation. And I think that'll help take it to the next level with my patients.
Yeah, your point about, you know, keeping them in your practice. I always tell my students, you know, we want to offer them something new or tell them something valuable about the lenses that we're giving them today while they're here, because otherwise they will think every contact lens is the same. And why wouldn't they? I would, right? And so by saying, oh, well, you want to try this new lens that's out, it's really cool because it's got this and this, here's why I like it. It really does give them a sense of, oh, these aren't just, you know, generic products that I'm using. This, she really knows what she's doing, and yep. I want to come back here next year. And so that keeps them from, you know, just buying from random online retailer and staying with their practice.
Yeah. You know, we have so much power with the conversation that we have in the exam room. And a lot of times when it comes to refractions, contacts, glasses, we don't understand the power that we have. And the more we actually talk about what we're prescribing and the technology and why we're prescribing it, the more patients are just going to love us. The more patients are going to be able to see better, because they're going to start to actively come in each year asking, hey, is there a different technology? Or, you know what, this technology is not working as well as the previous one. And that's going to be game changing. And one thing I know, Jen, you experienced this, especially being in the triangle. Patients are smart. They research everything before they come in. So don't be that doctor like myself, because I said I need to use this terminology a little bit more, where a patient walks in and they're using this technology or this terminology, and you're like, yeah, I don't know what the hell you're talking about. You know, like, you want to make sure that you're fully aware of this, because patients look this stuff up and they want to see sharply and clearly, just because everyone's lifestyle is completely different from what it used to be many, many moons ago.
Well, you mentioned that. I mean, patients everywhere. Everybody is very smart. And we see this playing out right now in the national conversation around COVID, right? People are having these big discussions because we all feel like we're capable of reading scientific papers and gleaning scientific results and being our own experts, right? And this, of course, is true of our patients about their contact lenses too. And I'll get pushback. So for example, a conversation about dailies we were talking about earlier. I'm sure you guys have had this happen in your practice where I'll bring up dailies as a great alternative for a patient, and they're in astigmatism wear, and they'll tell me, oh, but those thin lens, that's going to make my vision come in and out of focus. That's going to move around too much. My lens needs to be thick to stay in place. And it's like, all right, well, that's not really how that science works. But they have a very strong idea of why their lenses fit in a certain way. They kind of generally were grasping that prism ballast effect, and it's heavy and it's weighted, so it holds into place. And if I try to switch that up on them, that makes it seem like I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm going to try to make them have bad vision by fitting them in a thin lens. So we have to be very careful about how we explain the science of why we're making these changes, because we can inadvertently, without realizing it, make our patients think we don't know what we're talking about because they have an understanding that they feel really strongly about.
Yeah, you know, and Jen, you know, I love when patients come in, especially if I'm talking about lenses for glasses, right? You know, that's my bread and butter. And, you know, I have patients come in, they're asking questions about certain technology and how it works. And, you know, they'll bring something up and they'll act like they have all the answers. And I'm like, that's a great conversation starter. What you're saying is somewhat right, but not really right. Let me break it down for you in a little more detail. And then I give them a little more education and expand on it. And that's helped me to be able to have better communication, better dialogue. Now, that doesn't work on 100% of the patients. Let's be real. There's some people that just think they know everything. And if those people feel like they know everything, I'm like, okay, whatever. Keep it moving. I'm not going to waste bandwidth. I'll make sure they have the right lens. But, you know, you do have to pick your battles. So I agree with you in regards to that as well, Jen.
What would you say, Dr. Ruth, if you have patients in front of you and they're like, I can't go thinner. I need a thick, heavy lens. Like, how do you help change that mindset of being open to try new products if a patient feels very certain, like, this is the only lens that'll work for me?
Yeah, I mean, I would just very, very politely try to let them know that, you know, again, like, that's sort of maybe an older thoughts or practice, and we don't really run into that anymore with modern materials and you know, the products that we have available to us now, and that the thickness of a lens isn't going to have really anything to do with how that lens is or isn't going to stabilize on your eye. And the best way to disprove it is to show them, right? Put something on their eye. Just, we don't have time to talk all day and argue about this. Let's just do it. And let me go pull something from my fitting set and prove it to you. And the comfort will be so much better with a lens that's not as, you know, hefty on the eye.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. I mean, if you can show it to them and they can feel it and they can see it, then that's going to shut everything up. And they're going to just be like, okay, this is the one. This is my doctor. I'm following you everywhere. You're my doctor for life. So I like that. That concept.
Exactly. That's kind of like the daily disposable conversation too. It's just sometimes it's like, okay, well, we'll talk, we can talk all day about this, but let me just send you home with these, try them out. Like, and then, you know, 9 times out of 10, they come back saying, yeah, I want these. These were great. Right. You know? So sometimes it's, you don't even have to have the, you know, the contentious conversation, just show them what you got, you know?
Yeah. To your point to that, with my patients that are overwearing monthlies or they want to stick in monthlies and I'm like, they need a daily lens. I'll say, okay, I'm going to go grab the contacts. I'll go grab the contacts, but I'll grab a daily and I'll have them put them on. And they're like, oh my gosh, these feel great. I'm like, yeah, there's nothing like a brand new pair of contacts. They're like, yeah.
Forget what that feels like.
Right. They're like, I love a fresh pair of contacts. Well, I'm like, yeah, me too. That's a daily lens and you can have that feeling every single day. And at that point, they're sold because they've experienced it. They've already kind of busted themselves up with the comment that they made. So it makes it easier. But it sells itself, you know? So patients experience it firsthand and they keep it moving.
There you go.
I don't know what, I've literally never done this before, but it is, I mean, it's a great point to just, let's not talk about it. Let me grab a lens and let you show it. And then once it's on your eye, let's talk about what you're wearing.
Yeah. I mean, it works because, I mean, when you think about it, you have that problem when it comes from monthly modality to a daily modality, from spherical lens to a lens that corrects for astigmatism, from a distance vision lens to a multifocal contact lens. So sometimes you just got to put it on and let them try it out and see where it's at, give them a little education. And sometimes that does a trick. And then sometimes, you know, some people are smart. You know, we said earlier, we're surrounded by smart people. This is not my contact lens. What is this? But I do like it, you know, so you just got to kind of play around with it. But I do that all the time, Janet. I love it.
No, that's great. I tried that out where I was like, oh, you know, I'm going to bring you back something. Let's explore and see what you think. And here's the great news. There's never that, I mean, unless the lens is discontinued, which doesn't come up often, we can always go back. Worst case scenario, you don't like it as much. But if I can make your life better, isn't it worth trying? That's kind of the approach that I...
Yeah, your old lens will still be there.
It will be there. It's not going anywhere. We can always go back and get it.
Yeah, Jen, for me, what I do is I finalize, Jen and Aaron, I finalize both prescriptions, the daily and then also the monthly, and let them leave with both. But the daily, they'll walk up to the optical department, they'll fill it. And most of the times they end up going with that daily product or whatever new premium lens or technology that we've discussed, they end up going that route because they at least got the experience and they love it.
Yeah, I agree. I always think that once you've had the daily discussion and or let them try it, then if they would go back to their monthly, it's like every night when they take it out and put in the case, they're thinking about it. Or let's say they don't take it out at night, right? Let's be real. every morning when they wake up with it and they're like, you know, it's kind of dry and gross, they're thinking, oh, I could have had a daily. So just having that conversation is so powerful. And, you know, they'll think about you even if they turn you down that first time.
Yeah. I think it's just, you know, it's more empowerment, right? This is what's out there. You can choose what's best for you. And I mean, as long as everything's healthy, you know, if I'm saying you could go either way because your eye is healthy, then great. And then that way you are making an informed decision about what you want, which is what my practice philosophy is all about, is you are presented with all options and we talk about it and we go with what you like the best as the best option for you. So. Yeah. Yeah. All right. I want to talk to Daryl. We're about to really nerd out here for a second. So, okay. Contact lens troubleshooting. If you do have a lens on eye that you feel like, you know, okay, for most patients, it rotates maybe by 10 degrees, stays there. It's not going anywhere. You lars and you're set. But if you are having patients who are telling you, my vision's in and out of focus all day long, I think old school thought process was, all right, let's look at base curves of lenses, and like a flatter base curve lens maybe moves around more. So we're going to steepen things up. But as we look more and more at the science of base curves of lenses, it seems like maybe looking at base curves as a way of making a clinical decision has pretty limited use. And if we're getting that deep into the woods, we really need to be thinking more sagittal depth. How much are you using this process in your clinic? Because I think as a regular practitioner, because sagittal depth is not reported anywhere on the box, it is nearly impossible for me to implement that mindset for how to troubleshoot my patients.
Yeah, that's great, great observations. I completely agree with that. So kind of two things to think about when you're troubleshooting a lens and you're kind of thinking about like, oh, I want to change the shape or the depth of the lens. One, just generally, base curves between products and companies are not really comparable. So when we're talking just straight up base curve, you know, an 8.6 base curve from company A is not always really the same as an 8.6 base curve from company B. I wish that wasn't true, but it's just true. And then on top of that, you have to remember that how a lens fits on the eye is not just a result of the base curve, but of the sagittal depth of the lens, which sagittal depth is a function of both base curve and overall diameter. So even if base curves were comparable between products and between companies, most lenses are slightly, right? It might be a toric lens might be 14.5 in diameter or 14.3. And so even if you did have the same base curve on that lens, the sagittal depth would be different. And that would change how it fit. And even if all of those things were comparable, then the stabilization method would be different, right? And so it's really difficult to compare. And with toric lenses, we don't usually get like one brand that has two base curve options. So you can't play around with that like you might be able to with a spherical lens. And so I wish I could give you a really scientific way to troubleshoot between that. But oftentimes I just say, let's try something different. Like, let's just, you know, I mean, we're busy, right? Let's try something different. What we spoke about earlier, one great way is to say, okay, is this a prism stabilized lens? If it is and it's not working, let's try a prism ballast, or sorry, a double thin zone. I'm sorry, now my ring alarm is going off. It's just like my smart home is just like failing me right now. I think it doesn't have to be, here I am, you know, I love science and I'm being like the least scientific as possible with saying, like, sometimes you just have to abort that option and try something different, right? Let's try something else.
I mean, if you as the science person tell me that's okay, then I feel a whole lot better about myself. Yeah. That's what I'm relying on.
Don't feel bad about yourself, Jen. You're doing everything right.
But I do like, it's very straightforward now for it. It's like ballast or dual thin zone approach. And that makes a clear cut two choices, one or the other. So, and so like, at least I've got some sort of science behind what I'm going with next.
Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty good rationale. And again, in honesty, you don't really run into it all that often that you have somebody who you just can't get anything to stabilize on. I find a lot of times the patient that you can't get anything to stabilize, it really is almost everything you try on, unfortunately, but those patients are so rare and it usually has something to do with, you know, they just have really unique lid anatomy. You know, there's just pressure in unusual places on that lens that's causing it to rotate.
Well, let's talk about, okay. So this obviously is just skimming the surface of contact lens science when it comes to astigmatism. What resources have you found invaluable that you recommend for your students or that you would recommend for practitioners who really want to get more into contact lens science and bring that to their patient care?
Yeah. Well, so, you know, we've been talking about, you know, soft lenses for regular corneas throughout this talk. And to start with that, you know, the best resources there are going to be the best resources on the ground for you as a practitioner are really your reps. And I know it's easy when your reps come in the office, we're busy. And, you know, sometimes you're just like, oh, I don't have time to talk today. But I actually learn a lot from my reps, or at least the initial kind of tidbits of information that make me want to seek out more information. And so utilizing your reps and hearing what they have to say about, you know, what's unique about the products that they're bringing to you, is really, really helpful. And then within each company, you know, the different manufacturers do a really nice job of having tools and resources easily available online. J&J does a great job of having, you know, for their toric lenses, for their presbyopic lenses, having calculators and tools online that you can easily access, you know, in your exam room, on your phone, that can help you fit. As far as specialty lenses go, there's a wealth of information online. I would say number one, GPLI, .info is great for practitioners. There's just so much information there. There's webinars, you know, a whole archive of webinars, calculation tools, click and fit, all sorts of information you can find on GPLI. The Scleral Lens Society is also a really great resource for scleral, obviously scleral lens specific fitting information. And then again, for specialty lenses, working with your consultants and calling your consultant. I always tell my students, you know, let's be realistic. I know you're going to get out of here and have that first GP walk in your office and say, I haven't seen a GP for a whole year. I'm not doing this. All you got to do is call your consultant, your lab consultant. They'll hold your hand through it. They'll walk you through the steps to be successful because they're successful if you're successful. So really utilizing those consultants and learning from them. They're also a wealth of information. You know, I always suggest my students to do a contact lens residency if they have specialty contact lens interests. But even if you don't have that specialty training, you can seek out that information and find those patients within your practice and become an expert yourself. You just got to start fitting. I remember as a resident, I went to a talk with Christine Sent, and she said, you know, you could fit scleral lenses on with one scleral lens in your practice. You know, you don't need a topographer necessarily. You don't need fancy equipment. If you had one lens and you could put it on the eye and say, you know, more or less of this, you know, more or less of that, and send an order off to the lab, you could fit a lens and keep tweaking it from there, you know. So you don't have to have a ton of experience. You don't have to have a ton of fancy stuff in your office. You just have to have, you know, the interest, the willingness to learn and go for it. And yeah, I think my contact lens, I'm biased, obviously, but my contact lens patients are the happiest. They give me the most professional satisfaction to feel like I've really been able to, you know, step in and, you know, affect their lives positively.
Yeah. I totally agree.
I love the rep piece too, because I think as eye care professionals, as optometrists, we don't utilize them enough. We think they come in and they're to annoy us, right? But in reality, they have so much great information that can help take it to the next level, whether it's some type of literature, whether it's a clinical pearl that they might have heard from another physician down the road that's killing the game with, you know, prescribing a certain type of lens. So really just sitting down, having a conversation with them can really help you. And not only that, not just with prescribing, but just anything in your office. They may know a technician at another office that wants to leave and they want to find a new place to go to, or another doctor that wants to go to. You really got to talk to your reps. You know, I mean, it makes a big difference. The only other thing that I would add to the resources that you mentioned, everyone out there, and I want y'all to listen to me. Look, let me look in the camera. Look at me. Get a friend like Dr. Jennifer Lyerly and just call her and she'll have all the answers for you.
You know what, though, Daryl? We can text about patients. I give them the same advice, Dr. Roof, that you just gave me. I was like, you just call consultation. They're going to walk you right through it. And you get to know your consultants. And when you get the one you like on the phone, you're like, oh, yay.
I mean, it's like I was, you know, I'll teach you how to do it from scratch, from, you know, you crunch all the numbers yourself. But if you're in a pinch, do not let that patient walk out and go somewhere else, because you're going to provide a service for them that the guy across the street won't. And it's so crazy easy for you to do that. And for them, it makes such a difference that you are going to be, you know, they're going to be so loyal to you from there on out, because you did something that no one else would do, that to them made such a big difference. And to you, it really, it's just a phone call. It's just so easy. It's that, you know, it boggles my mind that more people don't do it, but I'm happy to do it.
Just like with low vision, with vision therapy, if it's something that you aren't passionate about, that's not something you want to do, just like you said, find a colleague that can be your partner in that. And you have your specialty that you want those referrals for. And we all, you know, collaborate with each other. It's a beautiful thing that there's so many different paths this career can take. That's and right. When we don't have to be the experts at everything, it's okay to do the parts of this that you love and find doctors who love the other parts that you network with.
Yes, for sure.
Well, thank you so much for the conversation this evening. I know we kind of launched a whole lot of stuff where you have plenty of meat to dig in if you want to keep going. And sagittal depth is one of those things that I continue to explore, and I'm hoping to utilize more and more in my practice. So thanks for talking to me about that today too. We can't wait for what 2022 brings, Daryl. And Dr. Roof, you were a great guest for us to kick off the new year with. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. This was really fun and great conversation.
Thank you so much. Everyone have a fantastic year. It's your favorite optometrist, Dr. Daryl Glover, and the lovely Dr. Jennifer Lyerly. And have a fantastic 2022. Until next time, peace. All right, colleagues, and it's a wrap. Thank you dearly for hanging out with the Defocus Media team. We hope truly something resonated with you. And if it did, be sure to give us 5 stars. And make sure you follow us on all social media platforms. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, you named it. And our handle is at Defocus Media on all platforms. And until next time, be sure to keep it 2020. And we look forward to seeing you on the next episode.